Welcome, and you're listening to a Queued Up Media Group production of Geekologist Radio, a division of the Ninja Pancake family of podcasts. And now...
Shut up and sit down.
All right, so let's introduce everybody for the cast tonight. First up, we got Brandon Fouts, back from the little incident that happened last week. How's it going, Brandon? Everything good on your side?
We're not going to go into last week's episode because I don't even want to talk about it. And I'm not going to jinx myself, so I'm here now. We'll see how it is at the very end of the episode.
There's backup recordings of backup recordings.
Okay.
Almost. I'm still downloading and installing the updates for XSplit in order to do that. So let's get on the road and hope I don't screw it all up.
All right. So the person that was talking in there, Derek, what's up,
man? I'm doing good. I'm here ready to geek out with you guys logistically with my beers in my hand. And I'm ready to take you through my queue into my gaming systems and ride the hype train from the past into the future. How about you, Mr. Chris?
Yo, my opinions are my own and don't reflect those of Geekologist Radio.
We're about to find out if Iron Fist was good or bad.
We're just going
to
call him the Salt Shaker.
Oh my God.
And finally, we have Mr. Young Khan back with us this week. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm surprised you brought me back. Oh, I thought I might have ruined the podcast last time.
Well, I asked the guys if they wanted to have you back on, and they said, well, how much is he going to pay us to let us have him come back on and everything? And they're like, well, no. And they're like, no, we demand money from him. So I had to cover your tab. So just letting you know ahead of time.
Checks in the mail.
Okay, perfect. That's all I wanted to know.
No, thanks for having me back on.
And I'll promise I'll do my best. I'll do my best not to mess up your name this time.
Yeah,
I don't want to out you for your
Yeah, we're going to call him Young Kun Lun.
Hong Kong.
Big Shlong. Kun Lun.
Young Hong Kong Fui. Is that what you call me?
Defender of Kun Lun. Young Kun Lun.
Hwaso.
All right. Derailed already. So how about before we go too far off of that, let's see what we get into in our queue.
We switched round and round till half past dawn. There was 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on.
First up, we have, for NRQ, we have Legion Chapter 7. And this was a huge, huge episode.
Hey, I'm going to go over to... Because apparently your opinions don't matter anymore, the two of you. That's what we've already discussed. Chapter 7.
That was determined.
We have definite confirmation of Professor X. They did not say his name, but there's a wheelchair, and the wheelchair has a big freaking X as the wheel spoke.
Are they allowed to say his name? It. Are they allowed to say his name? Do they have the
yes,
rights?
Yes, they are, Fox. Because they actually tie in. We know, we also now know the timeline that it takes place in. And the parasite has a name because it's not actually a parasite. It is a mutant.
Shadow King.
The Shadow King, but he actually has a name. So this whole thing takes place in the continuity of the New Mutants series of comics. The main villain is actually, in that series, Charles Xavier's arch nemesis, Amal Farouk, and also known as the Shadow King. One of the oldest and most powerful mutants ever, Amal Farouk has been a threat to mankind at least for decades. He was the first evil mutant met by Charles Xavier, convincing him of the need of the X-Men. He has since been tried to recover and take over the world, also confronted every time by the X-Men, never utterly being fully defeated. As in, he goes to the astral plane, which they talk about in this episode in a very cool sequence of animated chalkboard drawing by Legion himself.
Dude, that was awesome. That scene was awesome.
It was. It was epic.
Definitely does not take place in the cinematic universe because of that.
So it actually could connect in with it being the fact that the first class style of series of movies very much follows the New Mutants storyline, so to speak. Although the way that it kind of plays out, the apocalypse kind of plays into the same time that the Shadow King and all that stuff went on. So
I was just talking about the Xavier's motivation in the First Class ones is definitely not motivated by this guy. Yeah.
Yeah, because how the backstory on this, if people are following along with the show and they're interested in the backstory of this mutant that fought. As a young man, the mutant telepath Charles Xavier visited Cairo, Egypt. There, his wallet was stolen by a child, which happened to be Aurora, also known as Storm later on. During that, he got this like blast of telekinetic energy, and he enters a bar where he meets Amal Farouk in his mutant, but, you know, kind of human-esque form. And that's where, shortly after, they actually wind up going to battle on a telepathic realm.
So what are the chances of them bringing other mutants into this that are known characters in the X-Men universe?
Very, very high now that they've announced what's going on. Basically, this season will end out because this whole season's been getting Legion to awaken and learn his powers. After this, you're going to start seeing them bring in other characters from the series. More than likely, some of the characters that he teamed up with in various streams of comics. I'm going to do some research on the New Mutants and then kind of follow, since we know that's the storyline it follows, and see if I can do some guesstimates for season two. So when season two comes along, see if we're right. I'll talk about
my guess, though, is they're going to bring in a bunch of sub-characters. They're not going to bring anything mainstream or anything that they plan on bringing in the movie. So they'll bring in a little, like, characters that are kind of obscure.
They haven't ruled out actually putting, with how well this first season's done, they haven't ruled out actually bringing him in to the full continuity yet in the Marvel Cinematic, or the...
Who is X-Men?
Fox's Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Legion.
Oh,
Legion.
Bringing Legion into the cinematic. Oh,
bringing okay. David into the
cinematic. Yeah. So Legion as David, in the sorry. FX version, or Legion as in the Flash, and they're going to make two different versions. One goes into that world and one stays in FX.
They're talking about bringing in the actual one from the series.
All right. Because that kind of crosses streams for them, which is a little different than some of the other television shows, which...
Yeah,
have not done that like at all. It's like either your TV or your, you know, cinematic universe. You're one or the other,
which would be good for them to do. I think it'd be good because having two big flashes going on at the same time, I don't think is the best path forward when you have two different storylines going through simultaneously telling the story of the same character. Bringing that character in to the cinematic and then letting him come back, I think is gonna be that'd be fun.
The Flash right now movie is a wish and a dream. So it all depends on whether Aquaman and JLA actually does anything. Then there might be a movie. So we're not even sure there's going to be a Flash movie.
Listen, we have some stuff to talk about. We have some stuff to talk about Aquaman a little later on. And this again, we always seems like we're bashing on our DC. But the thing is that
we're bashing on DC.
We're not trying to. We love the characters.
Did you see the crappy promo for the picture of the movie poster? It's garbage. Like, hopefully the video, because there's Saturday they're having a trailer, so hopefully the trailer is. I'm assuming it's going to be pretty BA. Like they're coming full guns blazed. It's going to be full guns blazed on that trailer. So I'm pretty pumped about the trailer. But the that movie poster was kind of hot trash.
Yeah.
Listen. Even though I like the film now, after time's gone on, when I first saw it, I was disappointed, and I was very pumped about that trailer.
I thought you were going to bring up Suicide Squads again. Jesus. Oh,
He was bringing that up again.
Suicide Squad's trailer was quite fantastic. Their first trailer was ridiculous. Their first full-length trailer was fantastic.
With the Queen, like the Queen music in the background? Yeah. Is that the one we're talking about? Okay.
Yeah.
That was all right. Yeah, it was good. That was good. It got me excited for sure. Now it's on HBO, so I'll actually watch it.
Now, honestly, I do believe that the soundtrack is better than the movie.
Purple Lamborghini is a good song, man.
The whole
it is
the
I whole love album. That song.
That's that I listened to that on my 200-mile drives.
Oh, nice.
That I've done three times this week.
So so it tells you how exciting Legion was. We definitely went into some DC talk. Let's head into the Flash.
Well, quickly, we just want to say the Flash musical that we talked about forever did drop this week, but we haven't seen it. So had too much other stuff to see. Everybody was trying to catch up as much as they could with Iron Fist. But we'll talk about
I don't even watch The Flash, but I'm actually going to try to watch this musical thing just to see what the hell it is.
I'm sorry. You said there's a musical?
Yes. Yeah. There's a musical episode directed by Josh
Supergirl.
They were in Glee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were. They were
the director of Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog and Avengers did a episode of Flash as a musical.
This is why nobody takes DC seriously.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's all I got to say about that.
Supergirl's in this, right?
The ball.
Huh?
Yeah.
Supergirl's in this.
It's another crossover.
Crossover episode, right?
That's a crossover.
Wait a minute. Does like Mixel Click like controlling the universe to make them all sing and dance or something like that? Or like something
they go
off,
into
like
another
character?
Mixel Click. It totally makes me think of Fred Flintstone. Yeah. What is that dude? what was the green? It's
like a guy that controls the...
Kazoo. It was Kazoo. Kazoo.
There's like a guy who can like control Superman, who can like uses magic.
Oh, I remember that.
It can make him do anything. So that's what I'm thinking about this musical. It's like there has to be like a one-off character making this musical happen. It was like his own free will because he's like a trickster god.
Trickster god of musical plays.
Yep. There's two. They can either go that.
It makes perfect sense.
It still takes place in the universe, but they have a puppet master trickster doing stuff like that, or it's just. Let's have fun. We have 20+ episodes a season. Let's have fun with it.
I got another premise. Is it a musical? Just do a musical. I can't respect that. I need some DC
so
lore behind
basically
that.
Just looking at the previews for it, what it is they have to, it's almost like a game, and to get through the game is actually part of the musical, and Supergirl loses her powers, Flash loses his powers, and they have to go through this whole scenario in order to beat the quote-unquote game in order to get back to reality.
Oh.
Now, I haven't seen the episode, so I could be completely freaking wrong, and I apologize if I am, but that's what I gathered just from watching the trailers for it.
All right. And we'll cover it next week. Give opinions.
So, up next, we got the Walking Blah. Oh, I'm sorry. It says Walking Dead now. Yeah.
Walking Dead. Walking Dead, the other side.
Brandon doesn't watch that show, so he's doing to us what we do to Legion.
I'm going to be honest. This episode probably was the most interesting that we've had since the break for me personally for The Walking Dead. The return of Maggie, which I've been saying forever. I'm like, where the flip is Maggie at? It was really cool. Norman Reedus, who seems at this point off kilter. Like, the dude is wrecked. He needs a hug. Is what he needs.
When Daryl
he needs
cries,
another hug.
We all cry.
When Norman Reedus cries, puppies die.
It is crazy. He was ready to kill that dude with a shank, and he wasn't even... He was looking at potatoes. He wasn't even near them. Mm-hmm. She's like, you were going to kill him. Yep, I was. He won't even look at me. I get it. He's holding a lot of remorse for thinking that he killed, everybody. Glenn for sure.
Yeah.
And so... He can't look at Maggie because they showed that cutscene where Maggie walked up to him and he wouldn't even turn as he was like cutting the wood. He was just whittling and like he wouldn't even look at her. So it was a really, really good episode for me. I like Rosita as a character anyway. So I don't know. What's y'all thoughts on The Walking Dead?
I liked the depth that they included into this episode. Much to a lot of women's dismay out there. They finally announced that Jesus is gay in this episode. So if they weren't familiar with him in the comics, they found out that he bats for the same team. And I really, really liked the moment with Rosita and
Sasha.
I'm pulling a blank on her name. Sasha. When they're setting up for the kill, and they start sharing their background stories and stuff. And Rosita has a very like Sarah Connor background. Her whole story, the entire time, I'm like, okay, where's John Connor? Where's Schwarzenegger? Turtle.
Did somebody say my name?
I did.
No, where Rosita are you has an Dead? X-Men we need rogue you. Backstory. She dates guys and consumes their abilities.
Like, yeah, she does.
Yeah, because every guy she dates, okay, she's like, true. I Very dated true. This guy to learn his ability. I dated this guy to learn his ability. Like, are you a superhero? What's going on here?
But her callousness towards those guys, I thought, what kind of spoke to her character. And then the callousness that she had towards those guys made the fact that she just had a recent loss even more meaningful because she actually cared about him, which I thought was interesting, mm-hmm. because she was just gaining. And like she basically said, it's for sex and to get what they know. That's what I did. And like, you know, it's the end of the world, so who cares? And she kept moving on, moving on, moving on, moving on. And then she finally asked Sasha when she, you know, so did he mean something to you? And there was that moment where she just stayed quiet for a second. And then she said yes, and at that point it was okay for Rosita to let go. Then, because she still had that resentment up until that question, and I think she just needed to know that somebody actually cared for him, and that, you know, it was okay for her not to anymore.
But in all reality, the mm-hmm. chances of Sasha actually really caring for him at that point, because they were like, she was playing hard to get, he was pursuing her, she might have been kind of liking him at that point. But to actually care about him and being really happy in that situation, I really wasn't buying it. I was buying that Sasha was saying that to appease Rosita and to help her get closure. That I wasn't really buying that Sasha had enough emotional investment in Abraham to be really happy with him when he was alive and pursuing her.
It's really hard because Abraham's character was played very one note. Like, he was just – there was no emotion out of Abraham, and there was never a real sensitive side to Abraham at all. It was kind of just like – The mission. I'm all, you know, testosterone. And like, there was that sex scene two seasons ago with Rosita. And it was very just like a mechanical thing. And he moved on. So I never felt a real connection with him and Sasha at any point. I just kind of felt they were victims of a situation. He was tired of Rosita, or felt like that maybe she was pulling away. And so before he got burned by her, he burned her instead and then went to Sasha.
I don't know. I kind of feel that in the episode, and I forget the title of it, but the episode when he dons the army uniform and he comes out, I think that was him starting to show some break away from the automaton, or from the robotic actions you seem to be going through, and going into more of a humanized, you know, I can settle roots down. She's not, but he is almost like he's cutting away from the past, so cutting Rosita out and going for something new, which would be what he could settle down in this new world that they had in Alexandria, you know, them creating a life that he could be, not have to just be play soldier. And I thought that's what that episode was showing. Ultimately, that was one of the last episodes that was leading to his demise.
I got a quick question for the cast. This show is still about zombies, right?
Yes.
it is. It is about the zombie apocalypse. You can't use a Z word. The zombies are the backdrop.
You cannot use
a
Z word when you're talking about the show. They're walkers.
Yeah. Honestly,
if you were like to divorce the title from the actual show, if you were to divorce the title from the show, to hear you guys talk about The Walking Dead, it could have been a soap opera at this point. That's all I can hear.
That's basically what it is.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. You say, let's talk about The Walking Dead. And if you would have said that before you started talking, this could have been a telenovela in Spanish. That's all I'm saying.
No. And you're right, because a lot of it is the backdrop of this human drama of all these characters dealing with the apocalypse, constantly being in danger and trying to survive with all these factions. It's sort of like in this Mad Max kind of world where it's post-apocalyptic. I mean, it's not your dryness and all that stuff, but it's this post-apocalyptic world. And trying to survive in there. And Rick's trying to survive, and he's getting everybody to rise up. We get Sasha and Rosita screwing everything up. And then just to me, they're just being selfish and trying to go out there to kill Negan by themselves. And they're basically, this is just setting up everything to screw up with Rise Up, Rick's plan. And looks like Gregory over in Hilltop, I think he's going to sell out the plan too. So something's going to happen where it's going to get really ugly real soon, with either Sasha having to give something up or Gregory straight up giving it up.
I think Gregory's going to wind up getting killed.
You think Gregory's done?
Oh,
I think he's going to be dead. Oh, yeah,
Gregory's going to be dead, and Maggie's going to be the ruler there. It's just a matter of how he dies, and...
I think Jesus is going to kill him.
Ooh, I would like that, yeah.
I thought Stephen Ogg, who portrays Simon, his character has more and more backstory now. Like, when he was meeting the mayor... And the mayor's like, so, and he brings up the beverages, and then he throws out the word tequila, and then it was just like, then it became that thing, right? And he was looking for the doctor, and when the doctor made the statement, well, do you need two doctors? And then he just kind of, he was very curt, and like, just gave him the look, and he was like, who said there was two? You know what I mean? So then he knew his brother passed away. And then he had to go there. And he was thinking about Maggie in that process because obviously she's pregnant and now there's nobody who can help take care of the baby or, you know, a doctor that can deliver the baby. So they're in that predicament that's going to be occurring at some point. It's almost going to – you can see this thing forcing them to Negan because that's where the doctor is. That's who's going to have to help Maggie. That's Negan. That's going to be Negan's play at that point. You know, I can help you take care of the kid or I don't have to at all. Which one do you want? Your choice.
Yeah, with Negan and a couple of characters being so vocally oriented, it's nice when you have characters that aren't as vocally oriented where Simon can just barely say anything and convey an entire story to the guy and just through his facial reaction and a few words.
He's quickly becoming my favorite character, really. Like, this season, he's quickly becoming my favorite. Oh, even over Negan. Like, I love how snarky and what a dick he is. Like, his... He's so rich with power for a guy who probably had none in his real life. Do you know what I mean? And in this world, he does. And so being the number two for him is such a great – it's such a character builder for him.
Right.
And he also – I mean, he's the same – I mean, he plays a similar character in Westworld.
Yeah.
Also, he was – you know, his part in GTA 5 was huge.
He's appeared in a bunch of just like kind of – different roles, but all of them seem to be a similar character to this. Yeah, and
a dick with a handlebar mustache.
Really? And so I don't think that he was initially, and I don't believe this, in this season, I'm not sure if he was supposed to be a middle to mainstream character, but I think he's getting a following now, so that might bump him, that might put him in Glenn territory, where Glenn didn't have a following in the beginning. Glenn got a following, so he stayed around a little bit longer than he should have, and so that might be happening to this character too.
I can get
somebody that fans might be pulling a little bit away from is Mr. Eugene. Remember when I was asking that a couple weeks back, like, is Eugene going to side with Rick and the group or the Saviors? Well, he had a choice right there, and he sided with the Saviors at that point.
He ran. He was like, no, not me. I'm leaving. He ran like a girl. He was like, I'm gone. Oh my gosh, that was sexist. But he ran.
Another thing that I had an issue with some of the stuff involving Eugene, it wasn't him exactly. It was the walkers with the metal poured on him. You know, if it drips down their arms, molten metal. I mean, I want to see it break. You know, this is definitely rubber. Show us some breaking in the metal, because if they're moving their arms, you're going to see creases in the where they poured that molten metal down. At least give something to the believe. I know we're watching a zombie show, but give us a little more to the believability of if you poured, because I mean the molten. It also, if it was molten metal, it would have melted right through, probably even to their bone. So I guess that's where I answered my own question. But I had a little bit of an issue when I saw that they're so mobile still with that poured down their arms.
Yeah, that's the suspended reality. You got to send them your physics question. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the episode, who does Rosita see? Is it Daryl or Dwight?
She sees Dwight.
Right, Damien, Daryl or Dwight?
I'm thinking that's Dwight, because that would play more into a better. That would make for a more interesting story. And also, Daryl didn't have time to get there yet.
I also want to know what Sasha runs into.
Yeah.
She's running. Yeah, but she's running it right into the fire. And so I want to know, does she run into a situation, or is she the one? Is she the aggressor, or is she having somebody being aggressive, you know, it being aggressive towards her? Meaning, like, is she handling the situation, or is she becoming the victim in the situation? So I'm very, very curious about that. We have two episodes left. So... where is this cultivating? Where is this going? because this season's going to end on a cliffhanger. It's going to end somewhere. And I feel like it's going to be the OK Corral again with Negan and Rick. You know, who's got the bigger penis in this? And like that's what it's coming down to.
Well, you know me, I'm Rick.
No, it's literally let's whip it out and like who's got that? Because that's how this show is. It's not like it has no. As far as the drama is concerned or whatever, you know, whatever we're calling it, that's basically what it is. It's like, okay, I'm this and you're this. Okay, who's more masculine? It's not, there is no real intent behind it, like in the comics. It's a lot different.
Yeah, I just don't, I think you're right. With two episodes to go, we're going to get a cliffhanger ending. I don't think there's enough time to actually get a full-on fight. We're going to get that cliffhanger of Negan facing Rick and like, what, Are you rising up? And there's going to be a confrontation about what's going on.
Like I said last episode too, I think there's a real miss if they don't have Carol go into that female camp and try to get those guns. That's silliness because that's a huge, that's like a three episode story arc that they could easily take in, and people would be severely interested in that. I would be interested to watch it again for sure.
So one of the other things that I'm thinking that were you know, outside of The Walking Dead is Fear the Walking Dead. If you've watched that at all, you see that they're jumping ahead with it because it's all in the start of Fear the Walking Dead. They still looked human when they were dead and they would come and bite you. The whole series has been around showing the progression of decomposition of the walkers so that you know kind of how long things have gone on. Now, when we see them, they're starting to look more like something you'd see out of Sinbad than you would out of a zombie film. But along that side, the Fear of the Walking Dead, they're starting to look that way as well. They still got the skin pigmentation, which shows that it still takes place prior to where we're at. But they're playing catch up very quickly because that takes place on the West Coast, and you know, eventually they're not going to miss out on this. Eventually, those characters are going to—they're going to start to
Nope.
They're not missing out on it quickly. They're not missing out on it quickly because nobody watches the show, so yeah, they're trying to catch it up real fast. That's what they're trying to do. I'm sorry, like nobody watches it. I watched through like five episodes of the first season and was like, "This is not The Walking Dead. I'm done."
I started going back and watching it because of the later episodes, because my son watched them and he told me that they're decent and that this new season.
Sure, I'm not knocking it for other people, but for me, it was like at this point, I'm invested in Rick and all the other. A lot of The Walking Dead is the fact that I've been along for the ride. Like if I tried to hop in now, I might not even be in. Right. I really might not, because there are more bad episodes than there are good episodes, as it stands for this season for me.
That's kind of how it was with the Sons of Anarchy. It's like if you got into that series mid season on, and you didn't have the ability to go back and catch it from the beginning and start go through it, you would be like, okay, what's going on? I don't know. Even though the character is very memorable, it's all about being with them from the beginning and having that experience.
Okay, so there we have a rotten, nasty, smelly ass tomato on fire. Also known as Iron Fist. So let's talk about Iron Fist.
Let's get into this.
Let's get into Iron Fist. I'm not even making fun of Iron Fist. I'm just talking about the fact that it took a beating early prior to the season actually coming out on preview.
Right. And the ratings between critics and fans are just polar opposite. Your critics are
astronomically different.
Are in the 20-30% range. The fans are in the 80-90% range. This is such polarizing ratings. Like on Netflix itself, where we all watch it, you can't even see you can barely see the white between in the last fifth star. It's almost full five stars on the Netflix ratings. And then critics just panning it left and right. And I can't believe it's so polarizing and people seeing two very different shows.
I think it's people like thinking to themselves, is this as shitty as everybody's saying it is? And so then they watch it, right? And so you get into like one episode and you're like, well, it's not that bad. All right, I guess I'm two episodes in. Well, I mean, this isn't Luke Cage. I guess I could watch a few more because Luke Cage was like, to me, just wasn't as good as some of the other stuff. I personally wasn't invested in this. I mean, but I can see how people were. And it's not as bad as people are saying it is, but maybe they're watching it in a vacuum. And so you hear a couple of people say it's bad, and then another couple more people say it's bad, and then everybody is critically saying it's bad. I'm not sure what they're comparing it to. I know it took a lot of brunt for the fact that the character originally was Asian and is not. Although after reading some information on this, the recent versions of Iron Fist were not that.
Danny Rand's a blonde-haired guy.
But that was a huge controversy initially. That's what started the controversy with Iron Fist.
A very silly controversy that had really no founding. But you got
kind correct. Of. Correct.
I'm going to have to go ahead and lay the wrath of Khan down on this.
Oh, nice.
Bring it.
The controversy about the actor being white was not even an issue. I mean, talking about the comic books, because the character is white in the comics. He was started off white, and then in the 60s or 70s, this kind of like some movies I would have to accuse of being like, you know, cultural appropriation. But this is not one of those cases. This is like false, like social justice warrior outrage for no reason whatsoever. Saying that, this show really, really just hurt my credibility with Netflix and the Marvel franchises.
I am not the only person I'm feeling so justified right now. It's so justified. Like
they put this show together on the heat and fire of Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage, and they just like they'll watch anything. And as a martial artist, I've been doing kung fu since I was 13 years old, and to watch this guy who weighs 115 pounds with no definition whatsoever and say something about tiger style is soft and internal. I wanted to rip my own eyeballs out and throw them at the screen. It was the most frustrating experience, like visually, I've encountered since Batman versus Superman. All right.
Ooh, that's a rough one.
Ooh.
The acting in this is downright atrocious. It's atrocious. It's bad. It's bad.
Split. It's split. I don't agree that it's that bad. Yeah.
God. Yeah,
it depends on the scenes. Again, this is another one of those things where the actor, and forgive me, I don't have
Vin Jones.
Vin Jones.
Vin Jones.
So when he's going in and playing more like dramatic segments where he's similar to what he did in Game of Thrones, you can see that. Like you can see that, and that feels like it more connects. But when you take the stuff that went where it's more outside, I think, maybe of his scope as an actor, that stuff I can see. One of my main issues that I had with it in the beginning was that the fight scenes were slowed down. And I said, you know, this guy's supposed to be this mystical power when it came to his martial arts. He needed to be able to convey that, and he needed to be faster and stronger than Daredevil. Now the thing is that Vin Jones is a martial artist, but he's not to the same in the same ballpark at all as Daredevil's actor, because Daredevil's actor actually he does most of his own stunts as well, and it you can see it when you're seeing
the Bionic Man jump over the car. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, they use some wire work.
But the thing is, further on, it gets better. The fight scenes do get better, it wasn't something that like I'm enjoying it, but I also can step outside of myself and I can see where the negatives. I can see where people pick up things that they don't like, and it still does bother me that the Iron Fist looks like a yellow.
Oh
tomato.
No.
Okay, so. I overall I like the series. Not even joke. I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10. The problem I have with it is the fight scenes. But it's not that it's too slow. The problem that I have with the fight scenes is that 1 minute the camera angle's here, the other minute the camera's angle on the other side. They're switching camera angles every like half a second. So you can't actually watch the fight scene. So the fight scene is confusing, so you don't see all that properly.
If you notice that the camera angles change mostly on when Iron Fist is fighting, and that's because they're switching away from the face so that they can have the stunt double.
He's not good at fighting. He's not good at it. It's bad filming, though.
No, it's not bad filming. They couldn't keep the camera on him because he was so bad in martial arts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's just a fact. They were trying to edit out his really poor attempt at doing martial arts. When he did like a flippy kick, they would cut. I mean, they would try to do a thorough guy. They would cut because they probably saw him on film doing the editing and like, this looks really bad. Throw the stunt in there.
Right. Go ahead.
Yeah. Because on this one, he did an interview recently that's getting a lot of criticism for both either him and this getting two sides of it, where he said where he was getting a lot of his choreography the day of and right before he was going to shoot. So that just shows that from the get-go, they were going to be relying on the stunt doubles to be doing most of the choreography because he was getting it the day of. And so that goes to him, but it also goes to the directors and producers, because if you're coming up with the choreography the day of the shoot, that means you're not planning your fight scenes properly. This needs to be like when you compare like John Wick to this, that's very different fight scenes where Keanu Reeves is training for these fight scenes for months on end going up.
You don't need to compare John Wick to that. Compare Daredevil to this.
Seriously.
They should have had a unifying supervisor on all three series. I mean, you see the fight scenes from Jessica Jones.
That would have been
to Daredevil to Luke Cage. Those fight scenes hold up as a unifying like universe. This one seems like a split off. It's very odd.
Listen, I'm going to get bashed here, so I'm prepared for this. However, we're all talking about Daredevil season 1. Everything right. else, Daredevil season 2 doesn't even compare to 1. Luke Cage doesn't compare to Daredevil season 1, and now this doesn't compare to Daredevil. So now we've got 4 seasons of stuff that does not compare to Daredevil season 1. In terms of fighting or in terms of script.
Jessica Jones, I would put up against it. Jessica Jones, I think I was fantastic possibly even had a better villain than Daredevil season 1.
I didn't have Jessica Jones in. I was talking about Daredevil season 2 and Iron Fist and now Luke Cage.
Oh, right.
So,
yeah, all three.
We have 3 Netflix series right now that are back to back to back that don't compare to that first season. So pretty soon people are going to start asking questions like, is it worth watching a Marvel series on Netflix? Because it just isn't holding up.
One of the things with Daredevil season 2 that they had to tackle was that was the second edition of the costume, actually, and they're still coming up with a better costume. So in the Defenders series, he'll have a new updated costume, because if you notice before what he was wearing, it was like Under Armour. He could move freely. The actor had a lot more mobility, so things got a little more tight when the costume and the armor he was wearing. The next rendition of the armor should allow for more better movement, so the fight scene should start to set up more cohesive towards the first season.
All right. So for me, I'm not a martial artist, never trained in it. I don't make films, produce them, or direct them. I just watch them and enjoy them. And for me, I enjoyed this series top to bottom. It's number 3 of the 5. I liked it better than Luke Cage and Daredevil season 2.
Same for me.
I didn't like it nearly as much as Daredevil season 1 and Jessica Jones. It sits right in the middle for me because I think it had a good, steady pace. Luke Cage had too many ups and downs from bad acting scenes, bad dialogue scenes to great stuff. It just bounced around in its quality. Daredevil had great stuff. Daredevil season 2 had great stuff with the Punisher and the Elektra stuff, and the Infinite Ninjas was kind of crazy. This one just had, I think it had good stuff all the way through. It had two kind of villains and two side stories going on there. It brought stuff, it made stuff come to fruition really fast. It would bring up a question like, why is he not just telling him his whole story? And then right away, if he tells him his whole story, he's thought of as being crazy and he's locked up. That's why. And then like little things like that, I kept noticing they were just turning around and coming to fruition the whole way. And I was liked a lot of those steps in it. Now the action scenes cannot defend that. Like they definitely were a step down there.
Take out Marvel. Take out the word Marvel and just make it a general TV show. Okay, right? So now where does it rank for you? Like if this was just a plain television show where you're like, okay, a bunch of friends of mine told me I should be watching Iron Fist, non Marvel,
right? It's just a new show on Netflix.
Would you say to yourself, is it worth watching another season, or is it like, I don't know.
To me, my rating doesn't change. I'm putting it as an 8 out of 10 for me.
Okay.
And I thought it had a lot of consistent strengths in it. And I bought their motivations. Like, yes, some of the acting wasn't great, but it wasn't as bad as other stuff. But at the same time, I believed all their motivations. Like, I believed Ward being all over the place because his dad controlled him. I believed Harold. I when Danny was going through his stuff, I believed that. And that's, now, whenever he was getting into his rage, that was some overacting shit right there. But
you mean the car? Like I'm gonna take this car right off the. I'm like, what?
I just gotta say that's a ringing endorsement. It really shows our prejudices as viewers when we go to sit down and watch something. I mean, I got the prejudice of doing fight choreography. I did stunts at I tried out for the Batman Water Show here in Six Flags. I've been doing it, you know, since I was for two decades. So that I'm bringing that prejudice to the show. And as here's somebody that hasn't had the background and to watch the show and enjoy it, I can see how a person could enjoy it. But it's like if you were to make video games, you'd play a really crappy video game. Some people would love that game to death. But you as an editor or as a landscape editor would find every fault in it from top to bottom.
Exactly. Like any show that takes place in South Louisiana that has bad Cajun culture or accents, I instantly turn off. I'm like, I'm a Cajun. That's ridiculous. That's disgusting. No, I'm done. Unless you're Waterboy and you overdo it,
I guess you're not a true. Guess you're not a True Blood fan.
Oh no, True Blood is ridiculous. Now True Blood is.
My mama said you full of shit. You were able to get into the connections for me. I thought the motivation and the connections, even from the first episode about where his childhood friends didn't believe he was dead, was just. I had a disconnect immediately right there. I'm like, this doesn't feel real. Like, it doesn't feel like the dude cares. It doesn't feel like the sister cares. And it sure as hell doesn't feel like Danny cares. So, I mean, the car scene was to try to show that connection where he was like, you know, you kicked me and do you remember? And like, he was trying to, tell him I'm really this guy. And in the car, it was like, okay, it just seems like he had this kinetic power to be able to stop the car whenever he wanted to. I wasn't even in fear of the car stopping. I knew it was going to stop. So to me, the emotional part of it just wasn't there. Again, it's a Marvel thing, so it doesn't have to be an emotional thing, I guess. But I was looking for that, and it didn't come out to me.
I would like to give the positives of this show. I mean, Colleen Wing was a really strong character in the show. Mm-hmm. I mean, the way she showed up in are we going to do a spoilers here?
Yeah,
we're fine.
Okay, well, the twist with the hand, that was something I didn't see coming. I was excited about it. I'm like, wow, that came out of left field. I'm like, I can see how this scholarship, this group of martial artists, they're all looking for family. It's basically the story of the Foot Clan from like the early Turtles movies.
Ninja Turtles.
Like, that is pretty awesome.
I made a reference to that last episode about the Ninja Turtles.
That was a strong component of the show. And also the father in the show, Meacham.
Harold. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Harold
yeah.
Meacham.
Yeah. Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings. 300. His
300
voice.
Yep.
Whenever
Thank
he
you.
Said anything, I was up and listening to it. He had a very strong like character, and they explained how his
Van Helsing
deaths actually make him less and less, humanistic or less like a human being. And that was really portrayed when he came in and beat the guys, to pieces with a hammer and knocked their teeth out. I mean, those were some of the stronger parts of the show. I just feel like the supporting actors and actresses were more, they had more weight than the actual main actor. And that was a little disappointing.
I'm hoping that some of this stuff happens to be a form of just from maybe bad directing, because we know that Iron Fist is connected to very, very closely to the whole realm of Doctor Strange. He's another one of the mysticism fighters. Now, another thing with that is that if you follow the Avengers story arc and what they seem to mostly be pulling from, we could very well see, because they've already, Kevin Feige has already said that eventually, because right now the series are referencing the films, the incident, the things like that. They said Act Two, after the Infinity Wars, when all these guys are together, the movies are going to start referencing the series. And so you're going to see references to Agents, S.H.I.E.L.D. You're going to see references to the Netflix series. Also, some of these characters could be crossing over into the film team-ups, as in the New Avengers that is going to be led by Doctor Strange. In the New Avengers, Iron Fist is one of his key members for a time. And so that, so we got, I know. So hopefully.
Yes, time to train.
I know. I see.
And a movie will have better choreography.
You can only go up. Yeah, you can only go up.
Yeah. So, I don't know if you noticed this, but there were characters in this show, the Meacham specifically, who were themed after characters in our pop culture right now. The Meachums are basically the Trumps. I don't know if y'all caught that. So Joy is Ivanka. She's finding out all the negatives about her family. Ward, slick back hair, no balls. He's Donald Jr. He's doing his dad's will. Harold, he has the big blonde hair. He has the spray tan. He has a gaudy penthouse. He has gold elevators in a lobby. And in episode 7, he says, "Make Rand great again." I was like, this is so obvious. Like, they're doing it. But I found it humorous as they were kind of doing the spin on these characters, because it wasn't like they were just going straight out and making fun. It was like these are sort of like motivations, how like Johnny Depp's motivation with some of his characters are great rock artists. Like, he was pulling these motivations in there. And I found a couple of those things to be pretty funny, especially when he did Make Rand Great Again. I was like, oh, that was hilarious.
Well, you can find those themes throughout the Marvel series. I mean, if you go back to Luke Cage, you can find the hoodie with the bullet holes in it. That's just a straight up nod to Trayvon Martin's death. They do that in The Punisher. He has PTSD. He's a veteran from Iraq. These are all problems that we see every single day. And we see him translated from into the Marvel Cinematic, I mean the Marvel Netflix universe, and they do it really well, and they don't slap you across the face with it.
Right. That's the
thing. So they're hints to the reality we live in.
Yeah, exactly.
I appreciate.
Yeah, these characters were the character pronunciation of it, but those other ones, like the Blue Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter themes in Luke versus Cage, that was the theme throughout of it. This one, I mean, the theme of this one was the duality of life. We saw that theme throughout. You can be two things. You do not have to be one thing. That was the theme throughout this entire show. Colleen Wing had that. Iron Fist had that. That was the theme throughout this whole show. Ward had that. Like, every major character had that theme, the duality of life. They were set to be one thing, but they wanted to be something else, but they weren't allowed to be, and how they all fought that. I love that theme, because all the characters did that through this whole show.
How does Netflix react to this? Do they pay attention to the critical, or do they pay attention to the people who are watching it? Because
you pay attention
which
to people
one's
who are
giving you
it,
money.
That's what's going to give that money.
But the,
you got to do both.
You have to do both, because if you don't pay attention to the critical, there's going to be no pub in the next season, and the next season will fall flat on its ass. So you have to pay attention to, like, people are watching it because it's Netflix and because they binge shit. That's what people do. You know what I mean? So they're gonna go through it, and they'll justify to themselves why they're watching it. And I'm not saying it's bad or good. Like, that's not what I'm getting at here.
It's almost exactly the No Man's Sky effect.
Exactly. So you have to figure, like, are they going to try to make this better? Are they going to learn from their mistakes? Or are they going to just continue to do what they're doing?
Well, listen, they're not Activision, so they're going to, I think they'll learn from what they're
and
doing.
I think that
Activision just keeps giving you the same thing until they decide, oh, we're going to cancel it for about 5-6 years. We'll bring it back to you. You know, Guitar Hero, I'm talking to you.
Or they just leak it early. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. But Netflix has the metadata. They have the clicks. They know how many people are clicking this show versus their other shows. And for them, that's going to be the driving factor of it. Like, they can look at all this other stuff, but if this show is getting significantly more clicks than any other show that they're looking is whether or not to cancel or do a season two or not, it's going to go back to it. And also, he's going to be an ensemble cast. So if Defenders goes through the roof and has amazing ratings, critical, tons of clicks for him, then they can just start throwing extra seasons in left and right. But one thing they have to do, they didn't do this season. It really pissed me off with this one. They have to bring in other Defenders. They have to do more cross-pollination.
Yep, for sure. And what is it? What is the tying bind here too? Like I understand.
Rosario Dawson.
I understand what is the tying bind as far as Rosario Dawson or the Defenders, but for them to have this season come out, and then you have Punisher, and then you have another Daredevil. Like where's Netflix going with this? Like what's the end game? Where are they heading with these individual pieces? Are they bringing more pieces in? Are they just going to stay with these core pieces and they just want to do the Defenders? What is the end game? Because the end game for the universe for film is the Avengers, right? And so that's where they're headed.
And that's where they're headed too. This whole event will tie in to Infinity Wars.
No, everything no, about this is the all, series, this is tying into the Defender series. This is just straight this.
But Defender series is supposed to come out the same time or right before the Infinity Wars, if I remember correctly. And that Defenders after Defenders, this leads up to Defenders. Defenders leads into Infinity Wars, and then afterwards everything goes back.
But the chances of
back because everything's supposed
chances
to be
of this stuff tying in, they'd have to have another New York incident for anything to tie in this scenario. Right now they set it up weekly, but they set it up as there's a bigger leader of the hand, and that's going to be probably our big bad next.
What's the next thing that's coming out for Netflix? Is Defenders the next thing, or is Punisher the next thing?
Defenders.
Defenders is next. Then it would be Punisher. Then it would be Daredevil. Correct.
They just wrapped filming on Defenders like 2 weeks ago or last week.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, Con, you've seen all episodes, right?
Yep.
Okay, you have two as well, Derek. Right.
Correct.
Okay. The very end scene, and I don't want to spoil it because I know Damien hasn't watched it yet.
I don't care. I'll watch it. I don't care. You can talk about all.
If you haven't watched it, I know. Skip ahead 5 minutes. Okay. So, do you guys think Madame Gao is going to be the main bad in Defenders?
No.
No. Her bosses, whoever she talks about as the person she reports to or the person she answers to, the big bad of the hand, that's going to be the big bad of next season. Yeah.
Dude, what do you guys think about Davos doing that? His jealousy has just turned full.
I feel like it's the same storyline plot we saw from Doctor Strange at the very end.
Mm-hmm.
It was like two guys from a mountain secluded train
with
monastery
monks,
who trained together.
We were brothers.
We were brothers, and now it's this.
Brother. I love you, man. Brother.
It's this well, turn.
It was also written the same way, too, because in the comic books, brother? Davos is the Steel Serpent who was supposed to be the Iron Fist, wasn't the Iron Fist, jealous that he wasn't it. And becomes the Steel Serpent, which is the S without the wings, which is the symbol they use on the heroine. So this could be him becoming that character. So we can either blame the series or the movies because it is exactly equal, or just blame the Marvel comics because that's how they wrote him. So.
Sure.
I want to point out one thing. How many people at the beginning of the show felt like they pressed the comparison between Iron Fist and Batman too closely together?
My dad passed away. I couldn't. Yeah.
My parents were killed.
Yeah.
I got this large corporation. It's called Rand Enterprises as opposed to Wayne Enterprises.
I
trained in the mountains.
Yeah. He had to take it was a board takeover just like in the movie.
Yep.
And like, oh, this is my company. And I was just like, can you just make something that's a little bit different? Just
He stinks.
He stinks. I was just thinking, how's this homeless guy? The guy wears no shoes, and all of a sudden he has shoes. It's ridiculous. Like I felt it was acting cheesy storyline.
I'm gonna say actually one of the things that bothers me, even though I know it's a type of style, but seeing the suit with tennis shoes actually drives me nuts.
So you don't like Doctor Who?
Don't pull my geek card. I've only seen like probably 5 or 6 episodes of Doctor Who.
I just pulled it.
One quick point to
My son is trying to get me to watch it with him. So I'll eventually start watching.
One quick point to make is if you're rethinking about the show, and this is for any listeners or castmates that thought about it negatively, think about a lot of Danny Rand's motivations. As the last time he had mature adult real world interactions, he was 10. And then he was raised by monks who beat him with sticks every
day. Very true.
So his concept of the real world and how to interact with it is skewed to start, and you see his maturity and interaction with the real world mature throughout the season. So if you rewatch it again or think about that, because that definitely happens throughout the series.
Yeah, I don't think it was the lead actor. I think it's what he was given. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's. I think it's the material that he was given.
Yeah.
Not so much the actor himself.
Yeah.
So with all this being done, it's time to kind of go in. You guys got your coins ready?
Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
Game on.
All right, let's get into game on. Let's go to the arcade, guys. First up in Game On, we're going to talk a little Mass Effect Andromeda. It's going to be an interesting conversation, folks, because so we're a bunch of us are playing it.
Who's
to different degrees?
It?
I'm playing it. Brandon's
and
Brandon's
Chris
got
has
it.
Got it.
And right. Chris has got
I'm
it.
I'm playing the blame game at home.
Listen, I'm here just so I don't get fined.
All right, so I jumped into it, and the first thing I jumped into was I created my character, and I'm gonna talk about I tried to stay on the outside of everything with this game because I wanted to go in with fresh eyes and a fresh view. All the other Mass Effect games starting out for me when I got into them, I turned them on. First, you'd hear like the opening sequences of like the soundtrack, and it just everything popped, and you're like, "Wow, this is retro sci-fi. This is the, like Alien. This is Battlestar Galactica. All these emotions and feelings and the stuff I grew up watching." And then you'd play it, and you're like, "The graphics were just like melt your eyes. It was beautiful." Now, if you create your own character, sometimes your own created character seem like a bit of a downgrade compared to the other characters that were pre-rendered without using the character creation tool. When I went into to playing, I started out playing the multiplayer, and it's one is this game multiplayer is tough. Like it's not easy. I jumped in. A guy decided, oh hey, we're all level ones. Let's go to gold mode. I'm
no,
like, yeah, hell
no,
no.
Mass Effect multiplayer.
Got my ass.
This Andromeda multiplayer is Mass Effect 3 on steroids.
Yeah, but I will admit that I'm getting pulled into the multiplayer. However, it kills me at how downgraded the graphics look, and I know gameplay is first, but the graphics to me look like I'm playing a 360 game, not even at 720p, and that pisses
Ouch.
Me off. Yeah, it's really bad. But I'm having fun with it, but the graphics are irking me. Now, the characters, even in the campaign, they all now look like they were all made with that character generator, so they all look like they're a downgrade from past game entries, and that's another thing that bothers me.
Damien,
mainly
in defense of the game. The character creator has to create over 200 characters, and so it has to mimic those characters. And so, therefore, that's the reason why everybody looks the same and has wonky, voice-to-speech acting. I'm just trying to defend the game.
But the problem is when you're playing and you're going up against a main character is supposed to make you feel that's their voice is sounding angry, but then when they look at you and they look like they're about ready to cry and they're constipated, that's not angry. That's just that it takes you out of your immersion.
When you're,
they shouldn't look like
Damien,
they're on the toilet.
When you're constipated, that's why your eyes are wonky and looking in 12 other places.
Everybody's constipated.
Devil's advocate here. Devil's advocate.
I'm just trying to defend the game.
Mass Effect, everybody wearing diapers.
Mass Effect, it's Andromeda. Or no, that'd be Mass Effect Alzheimer's. But no, I'm intrigued. I'm only about 2 hours into the story so far. Most of my time's been either in multiplayer or I'm actually playtesting a game I get to talk about a little later down the road on an episode next month.
Two hours in the game is about an hour and 45 minutes into character creator.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I was like, it sounds like a lot of character.
I didn't actually. I varied. I picked a face, went and changed it up, did the best I could to make it look like myself, but I'm sorry, the full beard sucks on it. It looks like it's painted on or like they put glue on you, shaved some pubes, and then just threw it at the person's face. It's really bad.
To be like, fair, they had that same problem in Dragon Age Inquisition. The beards are not something to be had lightly. They're
But in Dragon Age Inquisition, I thought I remembered it looked like it was 3D. Like, it didn't look like it was actually just like they. This is looking like Morrowind. Like, if you play Morrowind and you
put facial hair on,
it was like, yeah, it would like paint your whole neck, and then you'd look at your hands, and all of a sudden you're like, wait, why are my hands discolored? You know, they're the same color as my neck. You know, it's like
why
that.
Are your hands discolored? That sounds like a personal problem. I want to know about the hands.
I'm pretty sure there's a cream for that.
There really is. as far as Mass Effect is concerned, and I love Mass Effect. Mass Effect 2 is one of my favorite games of all time. I played the hell of it. Back played it by 13 hours in order to make sure everybody was saved on my team. Like, I enjoy Mass Effect. And Mass Effect 3, I played literally right after. It was like 2-3 back to back. The game story is it's interesting, but difficult to get into, at least initially. So you're going to have to commit a good 6 to 10 hours before you finally feel immersed into what, and this is reminiscing, felt very easy in Mass Effect 2. Like, it felt like I was kind of involved. And I played Mass Effect 1, but it was much later than I played 2 and 3. I actually backplayed it. The other thing is voice acting... Beyond amazing in this game. The voice acting is fantastic, except for some of the side characters, which in an open world game, I'm going to just excuse that happens in open world games. Mm-hmm. The minute-to-minute gameplay in this game for an action RPG is ridiculous. Adding the jetpack makes things so much more free to play this game.
You look up, you see something, you can actually reach it, and that's it's awesome. It feels
I would
good.
Love to complain about the animation and everything. And this is where, like, typically I would be on the negative end of this. But, like, it's so beat to death at this point. It's a AAA game. It happens. Mm-hmm. People who are complaining and saying, well, it doesn't happen in a Naughty Dog game, and it doesn't happen. Okay, guess what? They're generating 5 characters. They're not generating 100 characters. Give it 6 more months to bake, it probably could happen. But EA needs to make money, and so do their investors. So this is the game that you got. And they're going to patch what they can, and they're going to fix the things that are important, and they're going to not fix the things that aren't important. And eventually, a month and a half, if you wait that long, you'll probably get the game that everybody should play, but the early adopters aren't playing. Do you know what I mean? All in all, the graphics are great to me. I thought the graphics for single player were really good. If you look at the graphics comparisons from the original Mass Effect to what you got now, it's night and day. That we're so accustomed at this point to playing games like Horizon. But Horizon, again, mm-hmm. air quotes open world, is not the same version of open world that EA is trying to accumulate with Mass Effect and Drama. We're talking about a game that's 10 times the size of Horizon. 10 times. Okay. And it also has a downgrade to Breath of the Wild. What I feel like Andromeda has come across is the fact that Nier, Noah, Breath of the Wild, Horizon have all come out in less than a month of this game coming out. You're getting a wall of people having an expectation level of 9-10, 9-10, 9-10, 9-10, and a 7 comes out. Guess what? Plenty of 7 games are still fun to play, and so is this game. And I feel like people are giving it a bad rap. And that's just and that's me being positive about the game, because there's plenty of negatives. But I don't feel like there's not enough people championing this game.
I definitely think it's a false equivalency about the them comparing this game to other titles that have come out recently. That's a little bit unfair. You're not playing the same game. I heard there's like 200 NPCs in the game with their own voices. I mean, you think about the scope of that game compared to, I mean, the golden cattle, the calf right now, Horizon Zero Dawn. That's not the exact same thing as a Mass Effect game. The choices are going to be limited. The ending, you might have two endings in Horizon. Mass Effect is known for their choices and splitting off in a campaign in opposite directions. It's a winding, you know, tell your own tale story that it's kind of be hard to be pinned down that with an engine to make all the faces look as crisp as somebody that says one course of lines. That's not the same game. If you were to compare it to other Mass Effect games, that'd be a good comparison, or to say there's a downgrade in graphics. But think about the scope and size of those games compared to this one. I heard that one planet in Andromeda is larger than all the maps combined in Inquisition. Just think about that for a second.
Okay.
That puts things into more perspective.
To Khan's point, in the character creation, and I was kind of being facetious earlier, but like honestly, you're creating thousands of different versions of a character. They have to morph a character in game, in engine, to basically have the same, you know, facial movements. If they were to try to do that for every single version of every single character that you could possibly make, we're talking another year and a half of them trying to make this thing work. You have to give a little bit to the creation of it and accept some things. You know what? People accept things when they're playing all kinds of Bethesda games, right? Like, it's just the jank of a Bethesda, and nobody gives shit to Bethesda about it. They just expect it because
ZeniMax Studios, pretty much everything that they own and that they run, you know, they're big on voiceovers with that. And I mean, you can go back and look at Skyrim and Skyrim Remastered, and there's still issues where some janky stuff goes on with the faces,
but,
and whatnot.
But they're beloved for that, right? And EA gets their balls busted over it. And so I don't understand. It's like people are hating on Mass Effect, and I'm not trying to be an apologist, but people are hating on Mass Effect for the sake of hating on Mass Effect. Like, it's like they could not win with this game. If it was too Mass Effect, then it was, you guys are just regurgitating the same shit. If it was not Mass Effect enough, you guys are not doing enough things that are, you know, innovative enough, that are innovative, like Breath of the Wild. This is not Breath of the Wild. Like, dude, Breath of the Wild got lucky. It hit a time and a spot, and people were able to play a handheld, and they were able to go to a couple of conventions, and it's hard to get, and so it hits at the right moment. But if you talk to a few people who play Breath of the Wild, it's too slow, the game doesn't play really right, and they're tired of having to do same repetitive missions over and over again. So it just depends on who you're talking to, right? So take it into perspective when you're complaining. And the thing that really bothers me is when you take all of your anger at a female who may or may not have worked on the game. Listen, don't take your objections against one person when making a game, because it takes a lot of people to make a game. It's like basically a team sport. Like, it's like baseball, football, basketball, man. It's a team game. So you can't bitch at one person about how things are going sour when it involves the whole team. So if you're going to complain about the game as a whole, but don't single out people and don't objectify people, because honestly, it just makes you look really small in the process.
That's the problem with the community surrounding video games. They don't know what it takes to actually build a skull from scratch, or build a face from scratch, and then make that face look human. Like, how about you go out and make your own game and see how that works out for you? Or make one character and make him say four lines and see how that works out. They think they're entitled to this perfect, super realistic thing that at the moment is possible, but you don't have enough money to dump into a video game that may or may not sell. They're not trying to make a Final Fantasy movie like that CG, translate that into a video game.
Remember, these companies, it's dollars and cents, right? Like, this is a business. And so when people take it personally, I get it, because it's emotional and you guys really care about the game and people care about the game and that sort of thing. But take into account that when they're fixing the bugs, they're fixing the major bugs. They're not fixing the minor bugs, because the major things are the ones that affect the most amount of people. The minor things affect the minor amount of people. And so in dollars and cents, they've got to put in place their money. Just like when we were talking about Destiny, about 10 episodes ago, they place the money and fix the things that they need to fix that are going to affect the most amount of people. And they don't put their money towards the things that are going to affect the least amount of people, because it just doesn't make sense. And so if you don't want to play the game, put your money where your mouth is and don't play it. Do not play Mass Effect Andromeda. But if you even care remotely about Mass Effect and you like the series, this game does that series justice. Is it the same as 1, 2, and 3? It's never going to be the same. It's like playing Mario 1. It's like playing Super Mario 3. No other game is going to be like it. But if you care about the series and you like the series, it's worth its time, and it's worth the time to invest into it.
Okay, so I got something to kind of tie this up in a nice ribbon. What character did you pick to play as? What's your role in Mass Effect? What are you
running? I'm running as a female writer. Like, I wanted to play something that was
well, no. Your actual base class. Like, what are you playing?
Oh, geez. Like, I like playing tech. That's just me. I'm a tech person. Like, okay. So that's kind of my. The fact that you can play anything in this game is pretty awesome, but playing anything sometimes means playing nothing. You know what I mean? So like, a lot of people want the freedom to play whatever they want, except they always revert back to one of the three classes anyway. But I'm a tech person, and mm-hmm. I play tech whenever I play video games. So like, that's where I'm at.
So when I started up my character there, I typically go with like the soldier, anything with that. But there's an ability that they put into this that really made me have to go with it, because it reminded me of force mm-hmm. usage, and that was to be able to pull and throw. Yeah. So I went biotech.
Nice. So let's kind of drop off to a game that's very similar to this, where it has polars, and I think we're all part of the Destiny community. Destiny, the third stream came out, so it gave out some pretty good information. Cajun, I know that you were pretty passionate about it.
It had a good little fashion show. Deej had his camo vest on. And that's exactly what it was. And they knew what it was. And they didn't play anything more than what it was. Like, we're showing you the epitome of what we can do with Guardian armor. And to me, that sets up an excitement for going and getting that gear with my friends, with the New Age of Triumph patch coming, but it also sets expectations for Destiny 2 that this armor is much more alive. It actually looks like a reward you should get at the end of it. It's interactive with taking damage. You can actually see when somebody takes damage. It looked great, and I like that part of it, and stuff looked good. Damien, Brandon.
So when I didn't get to see the whole stream, but I did get to see highlights of it. That Crota armor on the Warlock, if you got the what is it called, the ornaments on it, you know, everything's all glowy and everything. If you get shot or anything, all the effects go away,
right? And that's all the armor, all the new armor.
That is amazing. That is amazing.
Yeah, it's and they never did that before.
If that is not in Destiny 2,
yeah,
I am gonna freaking riot.
I think that's them showing what they can do. I think that's them taking a Destiny 2 thing, it's like, hey, can we show them this in Destiny 1 and go into the live team? And it's like, yeah, we can do that. And showing them something that they're putting in there, and what the new armor can actually be. And it looks like a reward, too. This looks like the gaudy, big reward you expect to get from a raid.
One of the things about that is that it was actually leaked in one of their original videos that they showed for Rise of Iron. Had the Volta Glass helmet with ornament on it for the Titan. It was it showed the Volta Glass Titan helmet with ornaments on it. And so, I've talked about it in the podcast basically since Rise of Iron started out. And then when it wasn't in the game, when that expansion came out, I was a little butthurt about it. So now that it's coming, I'm just like, okay, all right, you're making do with what you showed already, but you know, I'm good. I want it. I have to have it because the Titan armor is my all-time favorite armor in Destiny, is the Volta Glass Titan armor. And I got it, and then right after I got it, the Dark Below came out. and it was like obsolete.
I just wanted to say that it's I got to give my hats off to Bungie for still supporting this game at this late stage in the actual, you know, longevity of this game. It's really it gives me a lot of hope for the continuation of the series for D2 and everything like that, because you keep seeing, you know, small things improve. And even at the very, you know, the game's going to be ending in 6 or 7 months. It's going to be over. But they still took the time out to actually add more things to the game. They're not adding major things. They're just adding more improvements on it and more sandbox updates. And some people complain about the actual updates to the game. And I have to laugh internally, because you look at any other game, what game are you playing for, you know, 2 months? We got from, this is March till September probably. I'm going to assume that D2's coming out. Oh, yeah, well, why wouldn't I play this? I mean, the game's going to be out in 8 months. What game are you playing for 8 months?
Exactly.
Let me know what game you've been playing besides Destiny and maybe Division or COD on a wild night that you've been playing for 8 months off and on for 3 years. It's mind-boggling to complain about, oh, why would I get this armor? It's going to be irrelevant in D2. I'm like, you don't play for the armor. You play to show your armor off in the game.
And the thing of it is irrelevant in D2, but the thing of it is Destiny is trying to hold you over to D2. So in order to hold you over to D2, they have to keep up. This crowd is so hungry that if you don't feed it, you may lose it. So you have to feed it just enough to keep it satiated, but not enough that it's going to ruin D2. So up till about June, keep feeding, and then like, okay, now E3, now we're going to start hitting D2. And so anybody who's going to play, finish up what you got to do. And so they've already mentioned like some of the side missions are going to start to, if you, once it hits the reset, you're going to start losing some of the opportunities in order to get some of these weapons, and that's how it's going to work out. But Destiny's not stupid. In the midst of this occurring, the information leaked about Destiny 2. Oops. So, like, they're trying to get, I didn't mean for that to happen. But, like, what's awesome is at the end of this, it was, P.S., you're expecting something else. One milestone at a time, Guardian. So, like, they know. Like, that's the nod. That's the, we know that it leaked out. We were the ones who leaked it. Uh-huh. We're not stupid.
That's good marketing.
Yeah. It's great marketing because we want you talking. The more you're talking, the more you're interested. The more you're interested, the more you're talking. You're playing because guess what? When you're talking about people who give a shit about it. Guess who they're who gives a shit about it? The people you're friends with. People you're friends with are still playing the game. And so then it just repeats the cycle. And so people are continuing to play this game, and that's how the conversations start. And you're still playing it 3 months later because what's it going to be? Is it going to have this? And is it going to have that? What's the poster do? And does it mean anything? And a PS4, and it's... So there's a lot of reasons why they let this leak.
Yeah, and I've said this before, talking about the... the stream and the stream number and the quantities and all this other stuff, the streams. Deej did say something in the stream. He said, this is the last stream for Age of Triumph. And I was trying to figure out if he meant like the future streams were going to be because Age of Triumph had launched, or because of this, that all future streams are going to be all talking about D2 stuff. And
they have to be.
Yeah. Most definitely.
They have to be.
This is the farewell ship saying goodbye. We'll see. We're going to get this thing tuned up for D2. Once the E3 comes around and that trailer drops, or they drop the trailer pre-E3 and they do the only thing that they did a couple of years ago, this is exactly what's going to happen.
They're going to drop this thing pre-E3. There's not even a question about that. Like, they want their own day. This is how Bungie does things now. So they're going to have a Bungie day, and it's going to have D2, and it's going to have this whole thing. So everybody's talking about it for a single day. IGN, GameSpot, Polygon, Kotaku, everybody's going to be talking about it. There's no way that they're going to just bury this in whatever E3, PS4, day two. Remember, because Xbox is going day one, they're not going to bury this as the lead. This is going to be the lead for them on their stream.
So with this leak that they put out, one of the first things that I noticed is that it's not like a lot, but that Titan that's sitting in the center He's got some scruffs.
I knew it. I knew it was the first thing you were going to notice because I was like, any of these have facial hair? I'm like, that Titan has scruff. Damien's going to bring that up. And I'm sure enough, you know.
It will be said.
The thing I noticed the most was they were human.
And no helmets.
No helmets. They added a female character in the back in the background, but she was added in, which is a huge deal. That's a huge deal for just the masses. Like, you don't want to be known as you're alienating people from left or from right. So everybody's included, and no masks. So the classes can be kind of skewed a little bit. Are they a hunter? Is it a titan? Are these even still the classes in Destiny 2? Because nobody knows. Which is great.
They could just go based off armor. It could be just armor is armor, just like because they talked about wanting to make this. Because they brought in, they're not stupid. Bungie's been bringing in people from NCSoft, mm-hmm. West. And so they've been bringing in these people that worked on Guild Wars 2 and worked on this open world style game that was more populated and felt more alive, and that's what they want Destiny 2 to be about. Initially, they brought the first guy over that was in charge of the campaign stories. They brought him over. Then they've been bringing other developers that worked, you know, under him over. They have this whole crew that knows how to do this stuff. And in those games, you can be, you know, you can get different armor and stuff like that. You could probably, this could very well be what you're saying is, yeah, the Holy Trinity of classes may not be that anymore. It may be based on skills that you put your stuff into.
I think what's going to happen in Destiny 2, and this is really sad to say, is you're going to alienate a lot of Destiny players because this game is not going to be the same game. Like, it may not have classes, Hunter, Titan, like Warlock. They might not even exist. It could be going somewhere completely different. And people are going to either embrace the fact that this is a change, or they're going to get really pissed off and be like, this is not the game that I started. I don't understand. My Guardian was supposed to last 10 years and be really angry. So this could go one of two ways. But as a whole, Bungie has to think of themselves, what can we do next that's going to grasp the most amount of people, even if we lose people, in order to make this thing move forward?
And one thing about this with the faces and stuff on it, I think, yeah, showing the faces is a good thing. But the other part is you can see in the background of the poster the Traveler. So this looks like it takes place on Earth, so they might not need their helmets. So I wonder if that's giving away some of the story that Destiny 2 is going to be start off as an invasion to the Lost City.
Does this immediately affect Scorpio because of the PS4 tie?
I don't know. I think they're making it for Xbox One and PS4 no matter what, and Scorpio is going to be just not going to get any upgrades. I think. Not going to be scaled for it, yeah.
But if PS4 gets the immediate exclusive as far as whatever beta is played. So PS4 owns, like, because remember, they didn't really own Destiny, but they did own Destiny because they were able to put out any type of media that dealt with Destiny first. We have the first, we have exclusive for a year. I really thought that Xbox was going to pay up. I thought they were going to pony up a little bit on this. And it doesn't look like that's going to be the case.
It's because Activision has contracts. Activision can't be bought out of their contracts is what the problem is with that. Because they have a contract for, I think, on each Call of Duty and Destiny, their contract was three, I think it's three games total.
And it also could have options. So if it's PlayStation's option mm-hmm. to opt in or opt to opt out of it, and they can accept to opt in for a substantial sum of money and they want to do it, then that could be as well.
But at least it's only 3 months. It's only 3 months versus the year. So that I can confirm that
the PlayStation excuse is indeed 2 or 3 months only.
Yeah, they confirmed that a while back on one of the streams. It's a three month PlayStation exclusives are 3 months only.
And then they have to be. The year thing was insanity. was absolute insanity. We're
going over a year now for some of the stuff right. that PlayStation has mm-hmm. that Xbox right. doesn't have. Like Zen Meteor and some of the other
yeah.
things.
We're not going to get those weapons until D2 comes out. We're not going to get that strike till D2 comes out on the Xbox side. So. Yep. All right, Chris. Tell me some of the things you did in Zelda, man. What have you done in Zelda recently?
Master Sword.
You got it?
I'm just Master Sword. Just saying. That's very quiet. I don't want to talk about it a lot because I don't want people to know where they got it or where they can get it. I'm just going to let you know one thing. Can't be broken. Cannot be broken. It can't be broken. It's nope. really... You cannot damage this thing. It is awesome.
Yep.
And... it is hella hard to get to.
I finally nutted up and went and faced a Lionel and beat it. That was a tough nice. Fight.
How many weapons did you get rid of in that process? You have to sacrifice.
Oh, yeah. You have to sacrifice a lot. I lost a shield and at least two fighting weapons during that fight and a lot of arrows. And I used a lot of special arrows too. And I didn't even face like one of like the real tough ones later. I faced one that's in one of like the more center areas who didn't have a lot of powers. And that was still a dang tough fight because I did that for that one of the little missions, one of the little side quests that's around where you get the Master Sword. And I was like, dang, yep. I gotta kill one of those suckers now. I'll try to hold off. Yeah. Man, that was a
pro tip. Pro tip for Zelda: you don't really know sometimes when you're walking into a fight exactly what is needed. So you go in, and if you realize the first weapon is not really doing a whole lot, and basically when you're using the first weapon, you're probably coming in with whatever you have. You're a heavy hitter. Like you're coming with your lead stick. Sometimes it's best to walk away. I'm just saying, it is sometimes best to just walk away. If you walk in and you go, oh hell, this is not going to go well, I could lose most of the stuff I have in my inventory right now. Maybe walk away. Just leave.
Do you walk or do you run?
Well, I mean, in this game, if you run, you pant for a little while, and then there's a chance that you might not have you have enough energy to at least get away from the situation, and or you can warp to a different place. If you absolutely had to, you can get out of 99% of the situations Zelda.
You can teleport anytime in this game. You're falling to your death. Like you're paragliding, and all of a sudden you lose energy, and you're falling. You can hit the menu, and you can teleport mid-warp so you don't hit the ground and die. You can teleport out of any situation, which is pretty nice.
That seems kind of
that's cheesy.
Funky.
But it's not that's something funky.
That's almost like running Crota with
Valve. There is no cheating in Zelda. Everything in there is part of the game. There is no cheating.
I'm going to give a really big shout out to the fact that this game is a slow-paced game. If you want to play Zelda and you're looking to play GTA, don't come here. If you're looking to play a fast version of Horizon right now, probably not a good idea. Zelda is slow. You need to look at, like, literally when you walk upon a situation, you're walking upon it and deciding, is it best for me to fight here today, or is it best for me to just walk away today? And because most people are only spending 2 to 3 hours, and believe me, if you only have 2 to 3 hours and you come upon a situation that's shitty, you probably don't have enough time to recoup. So you really need to back away, find something else to go do, and then come back to that situation later. Because it's a really methodical game, which is what I love about it. I can pick it up for 3 to 6 hours, play it, do what I want, and then if I want to play a fast game, pick something else up, and then come back to Zelda. Guess what? There's not really a lot coming out to Mario Kart, Splatoon 2, and Mario Odyssey. So you have time. You have time. Don't feel like you need to rush.
I have to have a Switch by time Splatoon 2
you
comes
had a
out.
Switch in your hand. I don't even want to talk about this. you're going to make me old feelings in my anger are going to come back up again. You had it in your hands.
Speaking of Mario, Brandon.
Yeah, so finally as of today, March 23rd, Mario Run is now on Android devices.
Don't give me shit. That game is addictive.
I may or may not have been
playing it on your phone. Oh, recording. You're on the cast. Oh, surprise, surprise. People were giving me shit about the fact that I was playing it while we were on the cast. That game is addictive.
It is. It's like crack. I showed it to my daughter. And
it took him away from Pokemon Go for a little bit.
No, I'm still playing that. And also, Pokemon Go is actually having a huge update right now. Where
for the water festival.
Water festival. No, it's actually a lot of fun. You can actually start getting shiny Pokemon.
But I was so excited the fact that like it came out on Android. They're going to add 2.0. There's so much stuff coming. Nothing. Zippity-doo-dah. I had enough money to buy all the crap that I needed. And there was no extra levels. I'm like, oh, this is garbage. Like, if they're coming out to Android and we're giving you guys the sloppy seconds from Apple, at least we should be able to have a few extra levels.
It's just the whole exclusivity bullshit. There is PlayStation and Destiny.
Game's good, though. Game's a lot of fun. And when you're competing against your friends, it's even worse. It's even better. I can't wait, because we added each other as far.
Right.
So it'll be a good time. All right, so this episode is running super long in the tooth. We need to go into the hype train.
Okay, so first up we have Guardians of the Galaxy, and we're talking Ego. Not his Kurt Russell form, but the planet form. Director Gunn spoke about Kurt Russell's Ego character and says his living planet form, which we will see in the film, is the biggest visual effect in history. We have over a trillion polygons on Ego's planet. It's the biggest visual effect of all time. There's nothing even close to it, which I think is very cool. That's what Gunn says. I myself think that's really cool. You know, we talk about video games, talk about polygons, things like that. That's going to be just something cool to see, and I'm excited. They do say that we probably will not see any part of it in any of the previews, because that is a big part of it.
That's good. That's good, because I was really concerned after that last trailer they were going to start giving away too much. So, and that comes out May 5th. Did we catch that trailer for
real soon
for Death Note?
I did. I'm definitely intrigued by it, because you know it's based off the anime.
I'm intrigued, but it's going to suck. And the reason why, and my daughter told me this, she's like, she's huge in anime. She came in and seen it, and she's like, I don't like it. The character's wrong. That character's supposed to have brown hair. That character's supposed to have blonde hair. They're screwing it all up. God. I won't even like it.
Yep.
My middle son is big in anime, and he did the same thing. But he says he's still going to watch it, but he says he's going to mystic it. He's going to be doing Mystery Science Theater on
couple
it.
Of things. Niche market. That's a big thing. Two, in the niche market, you have to hit all the points, to Brandon's point, or people will get pissed off because you hit the wrong stuff. And three, I don't that just the small teaser trailer was not enough for me to be like extremely interested. I was my intrigue was I was like, oh wow, that's kind of interesting, but not enough where I'm like, I have to watch this. So whatever they come out
like
with
Ghost
next,
in the Shell.
Yeah.
Ghost in the Shell is, from everything that I've seen on previews and everything else, it seems dead on point. This is lacking severely of that. And now I know this is just an early teaser, and hopefully it will see something a little bit better, but not the entire story when they get the full trailer out. But as of right now, I'm not looking forward to it.
I'll definitely watch it, but I'm also looking forward to Ghost in the Shell and even a little bit on the Power Rangers side. So we'll see what my view is on all that.
It's hard, though, because you're one of the extreme members, right? Like, so a typical Netflix person who's going to go into this is not going to go watch this if they don't know what the hell it is. You do.
Right.
Most people don't. And so if you're not that niche market that knows what this show is, it's going to be very, very difficult to get yourself involved in it.
Very true. Next up, we have Deadpool 2, which they may have found their cable. This could possibly be a movie redemption story, but I'm not so sure that I'm keen on who they have as a front runner. So actor Michael Shannon, you may know that name as General Zod.
Loved him in Boardwalk. He's amazing.
He was so great in Boardwalk Empire. Yeah,
he loved him in Batman vs. Superman.
And Groundhog Day.
Wait, this must be Groundhog's Day because I just could have sworn we just changed everything around, and even though it's the same thing, and somebody said they actually liked something about Batman versus Superman.
Oh, he was in as dead. He was dead.
He was good.
That's why I loved him so much.
Okay, a little bit more on this. Deadpool 2, Cable, a.k.a. Nathan Summers, is a time-traveling mutant with telepathic and telekinetic abilities, and he and Deadpool are often paired together, albeit reluctantly, in the Marvel comics. So that's kind of a telltale what Cable is. If you don't know what he is, that's, you know, yes, he is the product of Jean Grey and Scott Summers. He is their
Wait a second.
Child.
There was no spoiler alert for the parents of Cable. You're fired.
They don't need to be. Everybody knows who Kate. Everybody knows.
Here's the thing. It's kind of a big deal, and I feel like they're going to gloss over it and just throw him into Deadpool.
I hope they do not mention it, actually. It would be better if they didn't mention it at all.
It actually would be.
It's superfluous to him being good with Deadpool.
Yep.
Because they also recently cast Atlanta breakout Zazie Beetz as a mutant mercenary Domino. So for the other key role in the follow-up.
Wow. What they could do is just have Cable be a guy in the bar. If he's a guy that he knew already from that bar, it would make things really, really easy because they would have a connection. They would already know each other.
No, what if he's a minor character? What if he's just like right at the beginning, he says hi to Cable in the bar, and then it's a complete other story where Cable has nothing to do with it, and it's just a complete Deadpool fake out. Like, hey, Cable's in it, and then they just go about their business and do another story.
It won't be because this is a lead up to another film franchise. Official release date has yet to be announced. David Leitch from John Wick will be directing the project, with Rhett Reese and Paul Wenrick penning the script. Reese recently confirmed to CinemaBlend that both a third Deadpool movie are being written, as well as the separate film that will include Cable, Domino, and Deadpool, as in the X-Force film.
So we'll see a Bishop. I'm super excited.
Yes. Now, what was your take on Bishop from X-Men?
Days of Future Past.
I'm getting Star Trek. Days of Future Past. I was going to say Generation. Like, no, that's Star Trek.
It was close.
They didn't go into much detail about who he was or why he was there. So that could have been any mutant. They just threw him in there, and it was like, just if you're gonna have a character with a name and a backstory, like some of the characters in there, they were characters that you knew of, but Bishop is actually a well-known character in that verse, and to have him just be a guy with like what, 2-3 lines maybe, it was just disheartening to see him like just take an asset and use it so poorly. Fox. I mean, that's what you expect.
Yeah.
So I'm hearing all of these X-Men characters and all of these shows. We're getting Legion. We're getting the New Mutants. We're getting X-Force. We're getting another Deadpool. And there's 2 or 3 more I'm not thinking of right now. Just can I get my Gambit? Can I get my Gambit somewhere?
Gambit is coming because Gambit
never.
He's supposed to. Yeah, he is supposed to be the next until they come with the replacement for Wolverine. Gambit is scheduled to be in all the next like there's 3 films that are coming out that he's a part of.
Air quotes supposed to be.
Supposed to be until it's cast and in there.
It is cast. Channing Tatum's cast.
No. Channing Tatum's already backed out.
Yeah.
Backed out. Done. Nope.
It'll be Michael Fassbender. That's what's going to be. And he plays every single character that's one off. Name a character, he'll fill that position. No character, same universe. He's the go-to guy.
Mm-hmm.
So we were
Michael Fassbender likes to fill everything.
Yep, with this slide bar. But another 2018 movie is Venom comes out in 2018.
So excited! Like
it
Venom
comes out on my birthday. I am so pumped.
A favorite. I'm so sorry.
And they're
for
finally
swearing.
Doing a good Venom right. They're kind of doing Venom right. Like I love Venom. But did you hear who might be actually in this? Because they're talking about this one is not going to be part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That being said, they are courting Oscar nominee Andrew Garfield to take the role back up for this separate cinematic universe.
No. No, please don't.
No.
Sony
needs to stop. Sony does not need to screw up another superhero movie or villain movie. You know, no. Give it back to Marvel. Just let them do it.
They need to do a different take on Venom, which, by the way, is my favorite character in the Marvel Universe, period. I have a tat on my
side.
Yeah, no, I have a tat on my shoulder of Venom, like, just crawling on my back. I love Venom as a character, and so I want them to pay respect to this character because I really feel like they did a disservice in the Spider-Man movie to the Venom character in general. And this could be something that could branch out into Carnage if they played the cards right, but they have to do it in a manner that is very respectful to this character and could lead it eventually into a Spider-Man crossover. So
the pictures that they keep showing are the Venom from the animated, the Spider Wars or whatever that they have going on right now, where he's got like the armor with the spikes and he's the anti-hero in it. That's the Venom that they keep showing. In various forms of in all their pictures when they mention this. So I'm curious if that's what the storyline they're going to go with.
Yeah, I'm hoping they go complete lethal protector on this one and to get the anti-hero like akin to Deadpool where he actually kills the guys he's trying to find out. And it's...
You mean a rated
R? Yeah, rated R. It has to go full Logan.
That'd be good. Yeah. Huh. Ooh, I like that. Full Logan.
Yeah, because he can be hilarious at times because he's teetering on a mental insanity, like when he has the symbiote on, and the more he puts the costume on. So I would like to see something like that, and just have it be devoid of Spider-Man. Or if Spider-Man does show up, he is a piece of background. He is like going to be Iron Man in the new Spider-Man flick. Just he is a set piece to let you know we're in the same universe. But I don't want to hear Spider-Man's voice. I just want to see him kick some ass. That's all I want to see. I want to see Venom just ruling, yeah.
Deadpool opens the way for Venom because that sort of film is allowed now. And it wasn't allowed.
Deadpool opened everything.
Yeah. Now,
yeah, so that's what we got. That's what we got the true swan song to Logan is because of Deadpool. We got what we deserved.
There's two rumors on this movie that kind of tie into what you're talking about. One, you're talking about being the anti-hero. There's the movie's rumored to have the main villain of Carnage being the main villain. And the rumor title is going to be Venom Carnage. And there's another rumor that kind of piques a movie coming out this weekend. And it's been released that the movie Life that comes out this weekend is a prequel to Venom.
What? Dude,
I can see.
I'm gonna go see Life this weekend.
Now, dude,
I'm going on Sunday.
Holy crap. Oh my god!
Oh my god! I'm told.
Is Ryan Reynolds in that?
Ryan Reynolds is in it.
Yes.
I'm gone. I'm going to see it this Sunday.
So in that case, if we're talking about big stars, you know Ryan Reynolds is not going to be playing Venom, so that could put Jake Gyllenhaal from Life being villain if he's
Venom,
the one absorbed by. The thing that looks to be absorbing people in a black goo in space in the movie Life.
Oh, man. I can totally take see it.
Take it at what value you can think of.
This is definitely Cloverfield Lane.
Definitely makes sense.
Yeah,
this is now like 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Severe stretch.
But
yeah. It is a severe American stretch. Hope. It comes out today, American and that hope. Could be the thing. That could be the thing that they're not talking about, and that's also why Venom was announced this week, because Life opens today, and we got to let it go because people are going to see that and know we're doing it, and it's coming out in 2018. That's a short turnaround time for a new movie to start with special effects. There's a lot of things that line up that kind of make that stretch come back just a little bit.
Dang.
Mm-hmm.
He just blew my mind right then, man.
I could tell. Like, everybody, like, faces dropped. They're like,
yeah,
two.
I'm not sure
three.
I can cope with the rest of my week now. I don't know what to do with myself.
I was kind of angry about that statement, so.
You would be, but your opinions don't reflect the rest of our cast.
They don't reflect the rest of Geeking College Radio. They're my own, so I just want to let everybody know that.
So, speaking of your opinions, what do you think about this whole Twitter thing?
Twitter considering their own paid subscription for the power users is a huge deal because it's going to allow people who use Twitter on a regular basis as their main medium to have information faster than other people. So to be able to get that information out to the masses is what you need to do if you want to take the next step or next level in order to get into the air quotes gaming industry. So if I were somebody who was offered, you know, $10, $15 a month to be able to grab information from Microsoft, Sony, whatever presser, I could get faster than anybody else, so I could spit the information out on Twitter. That's how you get follows. That's how you get likes. That's how people pay attention to what you say. And it just kind of cycles that way. And also, if I'm Twitter, this is how I make money, because I'm losing money and I'm losing it like I'm bleeding it out. So in order for us to survive, we have to have a way to make cash. And this is Twitter's way to make money.
I have no opinion because I barely use Twitter.
Yeah, I've seen your new Twitter account has one tweet.
Yep.
That's it.
The person who follows Twitter on a regular basis would be Damian Nash. And I know, Damian, I don't know how you feel about having this much information given out on Twitter or having to pay for that source.
I don't want to have to pay for freaking sources. I can't. If I have to try to start paying for information, like, and stuff like that on there, listen, my wife's going to kill me. So
baby, it's my hobby. So
I value
my
life.
It's my hobby, baby.
Yeah. I'll be building a lot more than gazebos.
But speaking of information you don't have to pay for, released by Woody Harrelson himself, his character in Star Wars Han Solo, Red Solo Cup movie is named Beckett, and his role will be the roguish mentor of Han Solo.
Which is good, because that's what we all thought he was going to be anyway.
I was going to say, that's common knowledge, so I don't think he really gave out anything more than the fact that Beckett was the name of the character. But then he wasn't... He was
100% confirmed rather than just 98%.
Sure,
confirmed.
And he was impressed on information he wasn't giving out anymore, which means he's under NDA. He can't say shit. So, you know, he's stuck where he is. A mentor for Han Solo makes sense. You got to move the story along. So, honestly, no news for me on this, aside from just the name.
Mm-hmm. And speculation, that's it. Yeah.
And the directors did say that they chose Woody Harrelson for this role because he brings both drama and comedy. So hearing that, I would looking forward to see a Star Wars movie with levity. Both the directors and their comments on this really make me feel like that's going to be a staple of this one, is the humorous side and mixing that action and seriousness with the humor and the stuff that Han Solo was known to do.
So think White Man Can't Jump.
Oh, jeez.
But Billy, I need some water. If I need some water, Billy. I'm just saying.
Ain't no thing.
Yeah.
No thing, but chicken wing on a string.
Everybody can have some bad acting. I love that movie.
I actually like that movie.
Let's jump back in time and go back to This Week in Geek.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Well, we're going. We don't need roads.
March 21st, 2006, Twitter co-founder Jack Dorsey sends the world's first non-automated tweet, inviting coworkers. A note to future entrepreneurs: when doing the first of anything, it may be for posterity, so try to be interesting. Okay, thanks.
March 17th, 1988, Apple Computer famously sues Microsoft for copyright infringement in its Windows operating system, and then Apple eventually lost that lawsuit. I've seen that in a lot of the documentaries about Silicon Valley and the Bill Gates, Steve Jobs era.
March 15th, 1985, the first internet domain, Symbolics.com, is registered by Symbolics, a Massachusetts company, a computer company. I bet they didn't use Apple.
All right, everybody's wiping away their their tears from Brandon's Finn Jones poor man's Batman.
That's because they feel bad about my mommy and my daddy who were killed by a Mac. You own a Mac, though. That's the sad part about this. You own a Mac.
Is it working, though, or does it have bullet holes in it?
That's... Oh, give me a break. He's got this thing working.
No, it's not working yet. I need a T8 and a T6 screwdriver so that I can remove the screen so that I can get to the stupid hard drive to replace it.
All right, gentlemen. So, Fouts, where can we find you?
You can find me out in the alleyway standing over my parents' dead body because that man came out and killed me. You can also find me on Twitter.
Hey, wait, he killed you?
No, killed my family. They killed my family, man. Just listen to the words coming out of my mouth. I don't want to hear that nonsense. And you can also find me on Twitter at @BE_FOUTZ. I miss you, mommy. I miss you.
Geekologist Radio does not speak about punching Nazis. I just want to say that. anything Fouts has
if
said
they,
is,
if they were, if they were, if they were to speak about that, where
would be very
where could someone find you, Christopher? Where could someone find you on Twitter so that they can talk to you about it?
At michaelfassbanger.net.
I do weddings.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
Okay. Cajun, where can we find you at?
Did someone say something?
I said, Cajun, where can we find you
oh,
at?
Oh, crap. I didn't understand. I thought you were asking somebody else. I really didn't hear you say my name in the middle of that. I was like,
Nah, man. I'm trying to talk to you, Cajun. I'm like, where you at, man? I need to be able to find you on the Twitterverse and everywhere else. Where are you, man?
Caucasian Saint, CAUCAJUNSAINT, all one word on Twitter, Uprising Family Gaming Network, and here on the podcast. And you can find us on Ninja Pancakes, which we'll talk more about in a second, too. Handing over to Chris.
You can find me where my opinions are my own and not respective of Geekologist Radio at twowolves.com. TWOWOLVZZ. Again, my opinions are my own, not respective of that of Geekologist Radio. Young Khan?
You can find me at Nazi Puncher on Twitter. No, you can find me at Young_Khan_ on Twitter. You can find me at my website, Khan Artist, Khan AIARTIST.org. And yeah, you can stalk me there.
And one other place you can find Mr. Khan here is on Skin and Max on the late nights under the handle Hung Kong. So there you go.
I thought that was an HBO special. I saw him on Cat House.
I was young and times were hard.
Dark Schlond. Dark Schlond.
Where can we find you, Mr. Damian Nash?
You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Damian Nash, all one word, manning the Geekologist Twitter page, minus the T for character restrictions. I have an article that is going to be coming out here very soon about an upcoming game on rectifygaming.com. Also, stuff will be, we're kind of redoing, like everything's been a process with Queued Up Media, so we're redesigning the site. Getting some stuff up there. I'll have a bunch of more content coming out that direction as well. And you know, we're going to be all over with Ninja Pancake and all the other podcasts that are on there. You got podcasts like Geek Squatch, which now Geek Squatch just did. Brandon, you said that they just did their most recent episode, Geek Squatch Now, correct? So they are actually coming into the present. And they were talking about what? The Switch, correct?
Yep, the whole episode was about the Nintendo Switch. It was a great episode. I learned about some of the exclusive games that are from overseas Japan. I also learned that you can actually get a 2 terabyte SD card to put in it. I thought it was a lot smaller that you could get, so I've actually considered now getting one by listening to that. So thank you, GeekSquatch.
Other things you can listen to is you can be listening to things like my morning coffee or my evening beverage with
our evening beverage
with Tinks and Remy. And then also, you know, we also have the cool cast over at Mulehorn Gaming. So you can find us all over the place on there. There's also some other ones on there we'll mention later. But with that, with that, we are Brandon. You want to get to show us out?
Listen to me. Come back and listen to us. They tune in at the very end. There's going to be some very funny outtakes. And we are me out.
And 3. Is Damien doing cartwheels? What the?
Damien,
his laptop is dead.
He's just literally throwing things.
Is his laptop? He's I. I saw
his
him
doing. Laptop's about to die.
He did like a human bull, he did a roll.
It dude, like he looked like a Tasmanian devil just going.
I know, his house is just like going all over the place. I'm like, what the hell? This is so distracting.
I was getting confused.
I thought someone was on fire. I swear to God.
I'm sorry.
He was also he's also good at 8 Mile.
Yeah.
He's also Michael Shannon. He's an awesome actor.
He was in 8 Mile. Oh, dude, was he Rabbit? No, he wasn't B Rabbit. Go ahead.
B Rabbit? What? Jesus Christ! B Rabbit was
what? Hey.
As a Detroiter, you are breaking my heart right now.
8 Mile reference. 8 Mile reference. There was an 8 Mile reference right there.
That's right. You're going down, Apple.
So much hate. Sorry. So much hate. Where did that, hey, where God, did that come from? This? Jesus.
Oh. It's constant and present all the time.
Yeah. An Apple computer killed my family.
I was walking down the street when I was a little boy, and this Apple computer came out of the store with a gun and pointed it at my daddy and my mommy, and that Mac, that Apple computer, he killed my mom and daddy, and now I'm just a little orphan boy who works for Microsoft.
He's Batman. He's Batman.
I am not. Don't be calling me no Batman, man. I don't want to hear that nonsense, man.